the church as mystical communion. In modern sociology, it has become commonplace to contrast two types of social relationship, a formally organized or structured society and an informal or interpersonal community. The notion of the church as primarily an interpersonal community has appealed to many modern theologians, both Protestant and Catholic, since the middle of the 19th century. Johann A. Müller is considered the originator of this conception, which claims names like Sohm, Brunner, Bonhoeffer, Rademacher, Yves Congar, Hamer. The concept of the church as a communion harmonizes with several biblical images, those of the body of Christ and the people of God. The former is biologically based while the latter is more sociological. The idea of the church as the body of Christ is found in Paul. In Romans and the first letter to the Corinthians, the main point is the mutual union, mutual concern, and mutual dependence of the members of the local community upon one another. In Ephesians and Colossians, on the other hand, the accent is on the headship of Christ and on the subordination of the total church to him. These passages were influential in the ecclesiology of St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas, which viewed the church as theological rather than institutional. After a period of strong institutionalism that, as indicated, culminated in the middle of the 19th century, the theology of the church as mystical body began to be revived through such figures as Emil Mersch and Karl Pels. In 1943, Pius XII published his famous encyclical Mysticae Corporis, in which he defined the Church of Jesus as he mystical body of Christ, and where he tried to harmonize this concept with the societal one. The Second Vatican Council, finally, used this model in the dogmatic constitution on the Church, Lumen Gentium. However, the main ecclesiological outcome of Lumen Gentium is the image of the people of God. In several texts of the New Testament, the Christian Ecclesia is referred to as the New Israel or as the people of God of the New Covenant. In the second chapter of Lumen Gentium, the new people of God is described as a spirit-filled community, a fellowship of life, love, and truth. While this people is said to be equipped with those means which befit it as a visible and social unity, it is not exclusively identified with any given societal organization, even the Roman Catholic Church. Both models are democratic, and stress immediate relationship of all believers to the Spirit as well as mutual service. The Church, from this point of view, is not in the first instance an institution or a visible organized society. Rather, it is a communion of men and women, primarily interior but also expressed by external bonds of creed, worship, and ecclesiastical fellowship. The primary bonds of union would be the interior graces and gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are deeper and more intimate than anything describable in moral or juridical terms. This would imply a doctrine of invisible membership of those who, although not belonging allegorically to the Church, are in fact part of this communion. Among the advantages of these models, Dulles enumerates their firm basis in sacred scripture and tradition and the fact that they are ecumenically fruitful, as well as that they help to renew spirituality and foster loving communion. However, they also encourage a certain dualism between the visible and invisible church, and they tend to exalt and divinize the church and fail to give Christians a clear sense of their identity and mission. The image of the body of Christ, on one side, does not sufficiently respect the personal freedom of the individual Christian. On the other side, many Catholics and Christians in general find it difficult to regard themselves as God's people. More often than not, political, social, cultural and even racial interests are stronger ties of communion than is religious faith. In the United States, for example, middle-class Catholics from Irish or German backgrounds feel socially closer to middle-class Lutherans than to poor Hispanic Catholics. In Africa, people tend to identify themselves with other people of the same tribe than with Catholics from a different tribe. That was the tremendous tragedy of the Rwandan War. In Latin America, Christian peasants feel a greater brotherhood with their Marxist or Pentecostal fellow workers than with their Catholic exploiters. The divisions in the Nicaraguan church during the Sandinista regime can be traced back to this conflict of fidelities. Finally, an excessive absolutization of close and warm interpersonal communion can also lead to frustration, if not to apostasy, one of the biggest risks of people who are looking for small communities in order to fulfill their psychological needs of security and intimacy in our cool and depersonalizing urban environments. The 1994 Special Assembly of the Synod of Bishops for Africa introduced a new image of the Church which we can place inside this model, the Church as the family of God. In the final message we read, the Synod has highlighted that you are the family of God. It is for the Church as family that the Father has taken the initiative in the creation of Adam. It is the Church as family which Christ, the new Adam and heir to the nations, founded by the gift of his body and blood. It is the Church as family which manifests to the world the Spirit which the Son sent from the Father so that there should be communion among all. Jesus Christ, the only begotten and beloved Son, has come to save every people and every individual human being. He has come to meet each person in the cultural path inherited from the ancestors. He travels with each person to throw light on his traditions and customs and to reveal to him that these are a prefiguration, distant but certain, of him, the new Adam, the elder of a multitude of brothers which we are. This image of the Church, which Pope John Paul II uses in his post-synodal apostolic exhortation Ecclesia in Africa, has Ephesians 2:19 as its biblical foundation. The Pope tells us, the Synod Fathers acknowledged it as an expression of the Church's nature particularly appropriate for Africa. For this image emphasizes care for others, solidarity, warmth in human relationships, acceptance, dialogue, and trust. The new evangelization will thus aim at building up the Church as family, avoiding all ethnocentrism and excessive particularism, trying instead to encourage reconciliation and true communion between different ethnic groups, favoring solidarity and the sharing of personnel and resources among the particular churches, without undue ethnic considerations. While this image may greatly serve this purpose, it has the same problems as the other communion images mentioned above. It is rather controversial. Moreover, it is not a very ecumenical image of the Church, and it implies a participation in the siege for a definition of family in the turbulent waters of the new millennium and in the varied context of African cultures.